Now let us look at that fourth verse in this psalm of hallelujahs and this psalm of praise. Listen to what it says. You know, I read these scriptures, 21 of them, and they all are really saying, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, bless His holy name. And it tells us why. It tells us that whatsoever the Lord pleased that He did in heaven, earth, and seas, and deep places, talks about the vapors that ascend from the ends of the earth, the vapors that come up and are carried over to various places and drop the water all over the world. The Lord does that, makes the lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasure, killed all the firstborn of Egypt, all that, slew great nations, mighty kings. God did that. Verse 4, for the Lord, this is God who did all these things, the God that we praise and thank. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself. It's what the Lord did. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. The Lord did that. Now, Israel is not necessarily to be confined to the Israelites who are Jews outwardly. But there is a true spiritual Israel that cometh from the Gentiles and the Jews. They are the truth of the Gospels brought home to their hearts, and they're made one body. Over here in the book of Romans, you turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Romans in the last verse, or the 28th and the 29th verse of the second chapter of the book of Romans. And this will stand for what I've said about who this Israel is that He hath chosen for His particular treasure. Listen to what it says. Verse 28. For He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Just because He was born of Jewish parents and circumcised on the seventh day. Just because He went to the temple, did this and that. Is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But He is a Jew which is one inwardly. His heart has been circumcised. God has brought home to His heart the truth of the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the Father. He knows the Son. He knows the Holy Spirit. He's a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, I said all that to say that when it says that the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure, that the Jacob and Israel, He's talking about His people that He chose unto Himself before time ever was. That's who He has reference to. Now, if there's anything that makes the believer's heart sing unto the Lord, It's the recollection that God has chosen him. If there's anything that can bring about joy in a man's heart, it's when he's reminded by the Spirit through the Scriptures that God hath chosen him. Now that'll make your heart to rejoice. That'll bring about joy in your heart. You remember this verse of Scripture? This verse of Scripture, in light of what I've said, there's not anything that makes the believer's heart sing unto the Lord and rejoice any more than the recollection that he has been chosen by God, and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has fixed his love upon them. Now the Scripture: ye have not chosen me. You recollect that Scripture? Ye, you, me, you. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Does it not say here, the Lord hath chosen Jacob? And if you and I have any reason whatsoever to believe that we are in the family of God by way of adoption, if you and I have any reason to believe that we have any claim on God through Jesus Christ, it's because he hath chosen us, not that we have chosen. Let me say it again now. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. But in reality, we have chosen him. See? We have chosen him. But the reason we have chosen him, because he hath made us known, made it known unto us that he hath chosen us. That he first chose us. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. In eternity past, he loved us. He chose us. Before, while we were yet unborn, without being, in his mind and eternal purpose, he looked over every member of the human race that ever shall be born. He looked them all over and he handpicked those that would be the recipient of his mercy and his blessings. And he said, I've chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And that's the truth. This is one of the best reasons that I know of why you and I, if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should adore and love the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. If the Lord has made us his people, we will with joy and goodness declare him and own him to be our God and our Father and our Savior. If he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, we certainly will return to Him our best service, our best praise, our loudest praise will return unto Him. Now I want you to see here in this verse the first thing that lies upon the surface of this verse. Notice what he said. The first thing that lies upon the surface of the verse is his choice. For the Lord hath chosen. His choice. It is a divine choice. It is God's choice. It is the Lord Himself who made the heavens and the earth. It is Jehovah God in whose hands all things are. It is a divine choice. He has made the choice. And though sometimes we speak of it as if it were a commonplace truth, He has made the choice. And it's a very wonderful, wonderful, glorious thing. Yet if we look into the very depths of this, we shall find out that it is truly a marvelous and wonderful thing that He should ever have chosen any of the fallen race of Adam. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That He chose some. He chose some. A remnant. A piece. A part of the whole. He chose. Now, in His mysterious sovereignty, when I speak of sovereignty, I speak of His might and power and right to do as He pleases. It's mysterious. The mysterious sovereignty of God. That He saves one unbelieving dying thief. He touches his heart. And He leaves the heart of another dying thief untouched. Mysterious sovereignty. God does as He pleases. In His mysterious sovereignty, He did not choose fallen angels, did He? Not one of the fallen angels did He choose. These angels that are of God's making and creation, who do His bidding, a gang of them, how many I don't know. Lucifer seems to be the head of them. They rebelled against God, and God cast them out. They're cast out, reserved in chains until the time of judgment. God, in His mysterious sovereignty, passed over them, did not choose one of them. Not one of them did He choose. But He did choose some out of Adam's fallen race. The Bible says that our Lord took upon Himself the seed of Abraham, not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Why was it that all the host of spiritual beings that fell with Lucifer were left in their fallen state without a ray of a hope of salvation? They have not a ray of hope of being rescued or delivered. They're there forever. When the Bible says, where the tree falls, that's where it'll be. That will be true and is true with the fallen angels. They don't have a ray of hope of being recovered. They're gone to the pit forever and forever and forever and forever. They're there for eternity. Fallen angels. We can never understand it, and I cannot give you no answer. That's the way it is. I could say, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in the 11th chapter of Matthew. Let me read that. 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. This is the only answer I can give for what happened. It says in verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, God of all things, because Thou hast hid these things, hid these truths, hid the gospel, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, from the smart alecks of this world. I thank You that You hid these truths from them, hid the gospel from them, and hast revealed the gospel, these truths, unto babies, unto babes, spiritual babes. And this is His answer. He said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. And that's the only answer that I can give for the mysterious sovereignty of God, that He passed by fallen angels and left them go, and they're without a ray of hope of ever being delivered. All I can say is, even so, Father, for it seemed good. It's His divine choice. Don't ever forget that. It's God's divine choice. And His choice was His and His alone, uninfluenced by anything. And when we understand, I believe, if God will teach us and give us some understanding and open our eyes and our ears, we could hear that this choice was God's and His alone. It'll bring about in our hearts and in our conscience the highest joy to know that God Almighty hath chosen us. Huh? Listen. When Joshua, who was the high priest after Aaron was taken, he was the high priest, and it says that he was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. You remember that? And the Lord said unto the accuser, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem. was a slap, a painful slap in the face of Satan. He tried to resist Joshua. Our Lord said, "The Lord rebuke thee, even he that hath chosen Jerusalem." Slap in his face. The Lord has chosen his people. The Lord has chosen his people. Listen to me now. And Satan cannot change the choice of God, no matter what he does. His choice will never be changed. The choice of God is always a sovereign choice. And about this point of his sovereignty, we are not left to speculation. For Paul has told us over here in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I believe, chapter 9, verse 11. I'm going to read this verse in light of what I said. I said, the choice being of God, I have chosen Jacob. Jacob, I've chosen. Remember that now. The choice being of God is also a sovereign choice. And I said about this point of his sovereign choice, we are not left to guess or to speculate. For Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, for the children being not yet born, I hope you're listening to me this morning, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or any evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. It is written, Jacob, is that not the man we're talking about? For the Lord hath chosen Jacob. Sovereign divine choice. No speculation, no guesswork. The Apostle Paul, the writer of 13, 14 books of the Bible, inspired of God, every believer, and every religionist, everyone that is identified in the least and most remote way with the Bible agrees, never argues, that the Apostle Paul, as a man, was probably the most committed, dedicated man that ever walked the face of the earth, apart from the man Christ Jesus. And this is what he said. I know there's a lot of stuttering and a lot of stammering and a lot of excusing and accusing that goes on when I read and preach from scriptures like but the scriptures stand. They cannot be shaken or moved. It's not me. It's him. It's God that says these things. Listen. It is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now the purpose of God was made good in this case apart from personal character. For in Jacob, no character had been developed. It was before he had been born, before he had been. God said, Jacob have I loved. So there was nothing about his nature and nothing about his character that would entice God to make the statement. If anyone says, and this is, I know those that stutter and stammer, those that say, I couldn't serve a God like that. I remember years ago, a long time ago, 35, 38, 39 years ago, I talked to a preacher that led the church in which I was ordained, led them to recall my ordination. They said he's not worthy of preaching. He's been preaching this damnable doctrine of election. And they said, the preacher said, I cannot serve a God like that. That's what he said. Wasn't long ago, a week or so ago, a lady called Martha, I wasn't there. And she said, we was cleaning out the church building. And said, we found this ordination paper here of your husband's. We'd like to give it back to you. So I seen her in the restaurant not too long ago. And I said, I appreciate your concern. But I said, you took it away from me. You said I couldn't preach no more. You said I couldn't even bury people. You said I was a disgrace to the ministry. I don't want it back. I said, I've been preaching now for 40 years since that took place. I don't want it. They stammer and stutter over this scripture. This is what they say. If anyone says that the choice was made by God on the account of foreseen character, this here tells us that there was no good foreseen character to see. He was yet unborn. Still, in his mother's womb. He had not done good nor evil. Yet God said, Jacob, have I loved. Has he got a right to do that? Has he got that right? He's God. Over all and above all, there's none like unto him. There's none besides him. He's all they are. Ain't no more. No need to look. He's got that right. He's God. He's God. I wish we could really understand a little bit about God. Infinitely wise, full of everlasting mercy and goodness and kindness and grace, unchangeableness. Oh no. The scripture tells us that there's no good character to foresee. If you know somewhat of the nature of this man Jacob, you'll agree with me that there is nothing in him to give reason why any mortal on the top side of God's green earth that would choose him. Certainly nothing in him that would give reason why God would choose him. There was nothing foreseen about him except the Lord foresees that he, the Lord, will make him gracious. But that is not the reason why he makes him gracious. There is in back of all of this the reason that God gave Moses. And this is what God said to Moses. Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." The truth of God's right to make a choice is largely, it should be preached. People don't like to hear this for this reason. Because when they hear this, and if any of it falls upon their conscience and upon their heart, they are made to recognize immediately that God owes them nothing. And they like to retain this false reasoning that God owes them something. But if they ever get a hold of what I'm talking about, this election of God, the sovereign choice of God, will produce a spirit in them so as to make them feel that they have no claim whatsoever on God. They have no right to His mercy. None of us, the best of men that ever lived, have no right to the mercy of God. Moses had no right to the mercy of God. Paul had no right to the mercy of God. Peter had no right. James, John, Bartholomew, Peter, Philip, and all the rest had no right to the mercy of God. I know this, if a man ever gets that mercy, it's simply because God chooses to give it to him. I know that. And this choice was made by the great King who has the right to do as he wills, and who exercises that right, and who can stay his hand? Who can say unto God, "You can't do it"? When God stretches forth his arm, when he bears his arm, who can stop? Who can thwart? Who can interfere with the will and the purpose of God who wills it? The truth stands unwavering in this verse. God hath chosen Jacob. Truth stands. And listen. That was that which lies upon the surface of the verse. "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob." But look under the next two words. He's chosen him unto himself. The choice is divine, and the choice is sovereign. He chose him unto himself. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's chosen him unto himself. Well, it does not mean that he's chosen him unto heaven. It doesn't say that Jacob is chosen unto heaven, although that's the end result. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say that he hath chosen Jacob unto special favors, although that is the end result. But he said he has chosen him unto himself. Unto himself. That means that Jacob is not his own. And if God hath chosen us in Christ before the world ever was, he hath chosen us unto himself. And we are not our own, because we were bought with a price. And the price is the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And we belong to him. He hath chosen us unto himself. What does that mean? Well, chosen unto himself, that Jacob might know him. Let me read something to you. In John, the book of John, chapter 17, I want to read this. It says this. Chapter 17. Now this is not Matthew speaking. This is not Paul speaking. This is not Luke speaking. This is not Mark. This is not Peter. These words spake Jesus. 17th chapter, verse 1. These words spake Jesus. Jesus is God's Christ. Jesus is the second person in the Trinity. Jesus is equal with God. And Jesus spake these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, that is, my time is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He continues praying unto the Father. And he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. That is, the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ power over all flesh. That the Lord Jesus, should give, not pay, not be bribed, or made to compromise in some form or manner, but that he should give. G-I-V-E. Give. A gift. Give eternal life. Whoa. What a great token of the everlasting love of God that he would give a son of fallen Adam, a daughter of fallen Adam, that he would give any one of this gift of eternal. But he said that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. Now, what it means when it says that he chose him unto himself, it means that he knew the Father. Then he found out who the Father was.
And life eternal is knowing who God is in Christ. That's life eternal. You can memorize every scripture in the Bible. You can remember books and chapters and all that. But life is not in the scriptures. They're not there. Read the Bible. You ought to read the Bible. Everybody ought to read the Bible. It's the Word of God. But the life is not in the scriptures. Life is in Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. The Bible talks about Him from first to start. He knew the Father. Found out who the Father was. He found out who the Son was. And He found out who the Holy Spirit was. Dude, you and I this morning know the Father, know the Son, know the Holy Spirit. The Lord chose Jacob unto Himself. If He's chose us, then it's chosen unto Himself. We belong to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. We don't belong to our children. We don't belong to our wives like we belong to Him. Well, the Lord chose Jacob, and the Lord chose his seed, that they might keep the truth alive in this world. Who's going to keep the truth alive in this world if the chosen of Jacob don't do it? If the chosen of God, like Jacob, and Jacob's seed, if they don't do it, who's going to keep it alive? Listen, the Lord has put us in trust with His gospel. He's given us this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. He's given us the truth that might be, that truth might be preserved among men. Listen to me now. There's no true worship of God under heaven except that which is rendered unto God from the hearts of God's people. I know there's churches. Everywhere you look, there is a building that says this is the church, the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Catholic church, all them churches. But that's no true sign of them being God's people. If they know God, most of these people in these churches, if I were to tell them this morning what I've told you, if they could shoot me, they wouldn't. Get a Bible. They'd say that's the craziest man that ever lived upon the face of the earth, and the best thing that anyone could do for him is to put him out of his misery and shut him up once and for all. No such a thing. God doesn't have any favorites. It's whosoever will. Yeah, but who are them whosoever will? Who will on his own? Left to himself, who will make the choice? None. It's when God makes us willing in the day of His power. There's no true worship of God under heaven except that which is rendered unto God by His own people. Men might make their ceremonies and their rituals as gorgeous and beautiful as they possibly can make them. They may have their fancy music and choirs with their gowns and all of their candles and candelabras and all of those things, but they add to nothing. They may make a great show of their piety and great displays of their music, talents, and abilities. But when it's all said and done, when the water has been completely wrung out of the rag, there is no true worship except that which comes from the hearts in which the Spirit of God dwells. They are those that God gave Christ before the world ever was. I ask this question to myself, and I ask this question to you this morning. Am I, are you, one of the chosen? Can you say like the Apostle Paul, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you and I branded slaves of Jesus the Christ, yet free men, rejoicing in the liberty that we have? If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free. Oh, do you feel here this morning shut up to just one course in life? Huh? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I press towards the mark? Huh? What about that blood mark when the Israelites were held in bondage by the Egyptians and their Pharaoh? And God said unto the patriarchs, take the lamb, put him up, check him out. No blemishes on the lamb, bring him in. Offer. Catch the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Put it on the side post and put it on the lintel post. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The question is this. It was the blood that made the difference. What? Well, there was no blood. The death angel destroyed all of those that was not under the blood. It was the blood that makes the difference. Do you have the blood mark on you? Has the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent, who came, born of a sinful woman, a sinful woman brought forth a sinless child. And that child lived in this life for 30-some years and was without sin, absolutely immaculate and perfect. No sin in him. But the Bible says sin was laid on him. Was your sin laid on him? Has the Lord revealed unto you the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has it been laid home to your heart and to your conscience? Has the Lord made any difference between you and the rest of mankind? Have you heard that voice cry, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Have you heard the voice of God crying, come out from among them and be ye separate? I'll be your God. You have that blood mark. Election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. It's not salvation. I'm not trusting in election. I'm trusting in Christ. And Christ alone.